Continue to look through Psalm 89 to prepare us for worship. We'll read verse 14 and 33 and 34. Righteous and justice are the foundation of your throne. The steadfast love and faithfulness go before you. But I will not remove from him my steadfast love or be false to my faithfulness. I will not violate my covenant or alter the word that went forth from my lips. What a great promise of God to be faithful to his children, who often are not. Yesterday, in driving home, I went by a congregation near me that within the last years put up one of those electronic signs. And on this sign it said, "Join us tomorrow for the Mother's Day hat strut." I'm not exactly sure what a hat strut is. But I know I have a bunch of baseball caps, and I was tempted to check it out today, but I did not. Although, when we went home after Sunday school, and by that congregation, I have never seen so many women. They were all in the parking lot with all these great hats on. And they were kind of strutting around. I think it had happened earlier because on the main porch of this congregation were a group of ladies all in purple of different generations, and they all had purple hats on. And I think they had a poster out in front of them they were holding up for the person taking the picture, and I think it said first place. So I think I begin to know maybe what a hat strut is. And we didn't have one of those this morning. The pastor did mention that this is a national holiday in our country called Mother's Day. And also, we prayed for the blessings that God gives to families with godly mothers. In God's providence, tonight, one of the things we'll be looking at is a godly mother as we work our way through the book of Hannah, and especially the gift that she gave to God. So let us stand together. It's not just going to be an example tonight of Hannah, but also of her husband Elkanah and their son Samuel. They're all examples for us. But let us stand and read from God's word. 1 Samuel. Chapter 1 and verses 21 to 28. The man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and pay his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, "As soon as the child is weaned, I will bring him, so that he may appear in the presence of the Lord and dwell there forever." Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Do what seems best to you. Wait until you've weaned him. Only may the Lord establish his word." So the woman remained and nursed her son until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, along with a three-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine. And she brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. The child was young, and they slaughtered the bull, and they brought the child to Eli. And she said, "O my Lord, as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who was standing here in your presence praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him." Therefore, I have lent him or given him to the Lord. As long as he's lives, he is lent to or given to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. Thus, the word of God.
Amen.
You may be seated. Well, as I mentioned, we have three examples before us. Certainly Hannah is one of them. But the first one that comes is Elkanah, a husband's example for you this evening. This passage begins by stressing Elkanah's godly example. There were three feasts in Israel, and we know that to pay his vow that all the males were go to every year. We found out last week that Elkanah not only went to at least one feast a year, but he took his family, which was not commanded. But he wanted his family to be there at the house of the Lord in Shiloh and to worship with him. So we see something of the character of Elkanah in this, and it would be costly to him. It was easy for him to go by himself, but he took Hannah and he took his other wife and their children with him also. And so every year he would do this, year after year, because he had made and followed his vow to the Lord to go to the annual feasts, or at least this feast. It was costly to him. But he knew that if he made a vow unto the Lord, it was to be kept. Scripture tells that of all believers, of our vows that we make. We make marriage vows before the Lord, but all of you, unless you're a covenant child and haven't come and confessed Christ as your own, your parents have made vows for you, but all of you who are members of this church, you have made vows unto the Lord. And God considers vows a serious thing. And one of the great things we see here is Elkanah is someone who is serious about those vows, as you and I must be with the vows we make before God. The scripture tells us in Numbers 30, 1 and 2, as Moses spoke to the people of God, he said to the heads of the tribes of the people of Israel, saying, this is what the Lord has commanded. If a man vows a vow to the Lord or swears an oath to bind himself by a pledge, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth. That we're to be truth tellers because God is. When God tells you something or makes a promise, he keeps, thank the Lord, his covenant promises to us. So we can rejoice that God is a covenant keeper, a vow keeper, but we also are to be. Ecclesiastes also, throughout the scriptures, we're reminded about our vows, but Ecclesiastes 5, 4, and 5. When you pay a vow to God, don't delay in paying it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you owe. It's better that you should not vow than you vow and not pay. So if you make a promise unto someone that you're going to do someone, we are called as believers, made in the image of God, redeemed, becoming holy, even as God is holy, to be promise keepers. You used to hear that about men, right? That was an organization. But we're all called to be promise keepers. The wondrous thing is Jesus always is, even though we aren't. But here we have Elkanah taking his family year after year at great cost to himself to go worship. We know something else about this man as his example to husbands. As he hears his wife in her struggle. Because she had been promised this boy and was given Samuel, God hears, answers prayer. And as his wife spoke to him, he just didn't say, now all you women have to come with me. But he heard what she was saying. And so she asked to be excused from going because she needed to wean her son Samuel. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, first of all, before he wants to make sure that she fills that vow. And at the end of that little portion in the first couple verses, he says, make sure that we do what we're called to do before the Lord. And we see that he excuses Hannah from her pilgrimage so that she might take care of Samuel until he's weaned, which at that time for the Hebrew culture was generally 3 years old, that she was going to keep little Samuel. But the great thing that she did is not just keep him and enjoy him, but she used those 3 years to prepare him for his calling. You might remember in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, that when she prayed for a child, she said this, Hannah was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but I will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head. Now, what she was calling him to be was a Nazarite. A Nazarite was someone who was set aside to be the Lord's, especially. John the Baptist is a Nazarite. But there were three things that a Nazarite would do. And so as Hannah is training and praying for and caring for Samuel for these 3 years while she's weaning him, she's teaching him what it is to be a Nazarite, to abstain from wine, to refrain from cutting your hair, and not to become ritually impure by contact with dead people or their graves, even your family members. Now, those are the outward things that a Nazarite would do, but the inward thing that a Nazarite knew about himself is that he was set apart to serve God. That's the harder part, isn't it? Isn't that the harder part with our children? You can teach them to obey. You can force them to obey outwardly, but she was concerned to get to his heart. And she wanted these 3 years so that she could speak to him and teach him and help him. Rick Phillips points out, though, at this time, look especially if you'll look at verse 22. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, as soon as the child is weaned, I will bring him so that he might appear in the presence of the Lord and dwell there forever. And Elkanah, her husband, said, do what seems best to you. Wait until you've weaned him. Rick Phillips points out the special care that Elkanah as a husband showed to Hannah. He understood Hannah's motives and supported her in what was required for her to fulfill her vow. Under the law, a vow made by a wife needed to be confirmed by her husband. So he heard her need. And he didn't just say no. He understood her care of not wanting to leave her child yet that was not weaned and couldn't take care of himself yet or be under the care of others. And so she wanted to do that, and she wanted to teach him the law. And Elkanah was glad to do this, and yet at the same time reminding her gently of her promise, keep him till he's weaned, but don't forget he's set apart for the Lord. Husbands, I want to encourage you. It's easy for us just to be law keepers, especially when we're the boss. And hopefully you've learned, not because you're afraid of a frying pan, but hopefully you've learned of the need and care that your wife often has wise things to say to you. Often she knows you and the spiritual need better than you know yourself, and that you need to hear and respond when it's a good thing to do, as he did here. That's the example we have of Elkanah. He was a promise keeper by God's grace. He sought to do right, even though it would be costly to him. Let me just ask you or your husbands tonight, would that be a description of you? Are you one who wants to fulfill and follow God's word, even when it will be costly to you? What a great example we have in Elkanah here this evening. And yet he wasn't a dictator in that, but he loved his family and cared for Hannah, knew her need, and wanted to have this little boy brought up well. Well, next we go on the example of Hannah, a wife's example for you this evening. Hannah is ready to fulfill her vow to the Lord, even though she said when she prayed, "Lord, if you've given me my son, I'm going to give him back to you." Can any of you imagine only having your child for 3 years? It's hard enough for mothers just when they say goodbye to them if they send them off to a government school in kindergarten, right? My child. Some mothers are going, "Yay, my child!" But but you especially, so many of you homeschool, right? You don't want your children to leave. You want to be involved with them, and through their whole education if you can, right? But she was going to have this child only for 3 years, and we don't find her here struggling. We don't find the scripture saying, "I only had him 3 years. This is horrible." But she says, "What God has given me, I'm going to make the best of." What an attitude that she has here. And she knows in 1 Samuel 1:22 that she is going to have to give him up forever to the presence of the Lord. It says, to appear before the presence of the Lord and dwell there forever. Let me ask you, who are mothers this evening, are you willing to give your children up to the Lord? It's interesting because I've seen over the years, children come back, and either sons who believe they're called to ministry or daughters who might be called into some ministry, and the parents say, they wanted them to grow up and know Christ, but when it was going to be costly for them, maybe they wouldn't have a job that brought a lot of money, or maybe they wouldn't be able to do this or that that was prestigious in the community, and they sometimes struggled with that. It was like serving the Lord would be a second-class choice. And for Hannah, that was the best choice. She wanted her child not only set apart for the Lord, but wherever God would call him, he would serve him well. We find out in chapter 2 or 3 as we'll go on, that in Hannah doing this, she only then after she would give Samuel up saw him once a year. It says every year she would go, now that she had missed these 3 years while he was 3 years old, she would go again to the house to worship, the house of God in Shiloh, and worship and take Samuel a new coat to wear. She gave him up for once a year to the Lord. And let me ask you, are you willing to really give your children to the Lord? Are you willing to give your children to the Lord for wherever he may call them? If they were called into some kind of ministry, whether it would be, however it would be, are you willing to let them go if it fits their gifts and that's where their hearts are? And when I read this about Hannah, I am just joyfully amazed that she says the word lent here can also be meant, translated as given. She says, I'm giving him back to the Lord, literally after just 3 years. This is also an amazing picture because it foreshadows a much bigger gift to us. She was willing to give Samuel after 3 years to serve the rest of his life in Shiloh at the house of the Lord. And she would get to see him once a year. But here we have a picture of another gift of someone giving their son. It's a foreshadowing of the gospel, isn't it? Because how is God's giving Jesus to die for us pictured in the scripture? You know the most famous verse. You hear that same word gave. What is it? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, right? So here we have also a picturing of the gospel of what God would do for us, and not give him just a service, but give him to die. Romans 8:23, talking about God who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. And so here we have in Hannah not just a godly woman who was willing to have her child set apart and let him go because serving God is better than her own heart being fulfilled in the what the normal things a parent would want to watch and see. Only seeing her child once a year, but it's a picture also of the gospel for us. But lastly this evening, we have another example, and an example in Samuel. Children, Samuel goes to the temple having been with his mother 3 years, and at 4 years old, what does the last verse say? And he, Samuel, worshiped the Lord there. 4 years old, right? And we live in a culture today that wants to play with our children and have something, it's very well-meaning, but something called children's church. So they take the children, they take them out of the church. And it's very well-meaning because they want to teach them Bible stories and want to make sure that they hear what's going on in their own words. And I haven't ever met anybody who's giving themselves to have to leave the service regularly and teach those children. I haven't ever heard a bad motive for doing it. But the very place for those children to be is in the place where they'll have the means of grace with all the generations. And I'm so glad that CRPC hasn't given in to that fad of where the church is today. And Samuel is one of those ones that shows us that the children can be in the church. They do get something, and I rejoice in that. I just heard this past week about a new book out called Let the Children Worship. And in it, the writer encourages the church to embrace the important part children play in the life of the church and unfolds the enormous blessing to be found in having them present in the worship services of the congregation. He points out that struggles are temporary that you have with the children in church, whereas the blessings can be eternal. Boy, I'm so glad that you have chosen as a church not to go that way. The temptation is great. Children often make noise in worship. You might have to pick up your children and go out with them, and you're embarrassed to do it because your child's acting up. But you have people who've taken vows to be a part, when your child was baptized, to be a part of praying with you and helping you. And we all understand when that happens. Well, let me ask you, almost every child, I'm not sure, here this evening is at least 4 years old. Do you worship the Lord? You're not too young. It's not time for games and playtime. You're in the presence of Almighty God. Do you love Him? Do you serve Him? Have you been set apart by your parents to love and serve Him? They've given you and your baptism for that very purpose. Do you know and love Him? And that's the joy of seeing little Samuel here, because his mother during those 3 years prepared him. She was busy. And God worked graciously in the midst of it. One of the greatest things that I've heard recently was yesterday when our daughter and her family took Marg out for a Mother's Day meal. And they let me tag along. And as we were coming home in the car, my daughter just happened to pull up a video of her phone of one of her friends with their 15-month-old daughter. And I could hear as I was driving from the front seat this, from the 15 to the 15-month-old daughter from the mother. Who made you? God. What else did God make? God made all things. The challenge to you, her parents, tonight. Your children are ready to be at your knee and hear the word of God. It's costly. But Elkanah and Hannah show us that picture. And if God chooses at any age, but we shouldn't set them aside because they're children and say they don't understand, because here we have the picture of Samuel in the last verse of chapter 1. For he worshiped the Lord. May God give that grace to us. May God give that grace that he gave to Elkanah to be faithful as a husband to you this evening who are men and need to lead your home spiritually, to set that godly example. Not to say my wife is the spiritual one, but to lead and to guide and to show the way and to pray. And for your wives, to have that commitment to your children to be a part of bringing them the word of God. Even the secular world knows that truth from a quote you've heard from long ago. The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. Right? It was those mothers who bring up the future leaders. They're the ones that often have that time with that. Count that as blessed, mothers. Especially you that have little ones. How hard it is at some days. You feel like you're absolutely going crazy. You'll feel like you'll never have a moment to yourself again. And something I heard this past week that I shared with my daughter who has a little one now is a lady who said this, that when I was frustrated and I wanted to give up, I had to act as if the word eternity was printed on my child's forehead. That when I wanted to give up and I had no perseverance again, that I would look and said, their eternal soul is in the balance. And God has me here to be his spokesperson. Be encouraged because God has placed you at this time for this moment. And he will give you all that you need, even when you're ready. How wondrous it is that we have this example before us. Example of a godly husband when the world calls us to be anything but. The example of a godly woman who gave her children to the Lord, but was involved as much as she could. And that of a child whose heart could be the Lord's, even though he was young. We'll find out as we follow on in this story that God calls and Samuel answers. Let me ask you who are younger. Do you listen for God's voice in the Word of God? Do you listen for God's voice when the word is preached? Do you listen for God's voice when it's spoken about around the table through your parents who are bringing you God's word? Samuel did. And you can too. And become like him. Let us look to the Lord. Father, I'm glad for your word and these three examples that we see this evening, and we all need encouragement. And we thank you that you used imperfect people, as we saw from Elkanah last week, how he tripped over his own feet and he was insensitive. And yet you worked to strengthen him and lead his family. And Father, we saw how Hannah struggled with her own faith, wondering if he would ever answer and her prayers, and yet she kept on, and you answered and you worked in her life. And Father, we thank you for seeing Samuel, who even at 4 years old could answer your call. Speak, Lord, to husbands and wives and children this evening to encourage us to follow after our Savior as we pray, even in his name. Amen.